It's good to be back with you, and I'm going to do something different. I've never done this before, but I'm going to try this. I preached a long time last Sunday. Did y'all notice that? I don't care what you anymore, but if you get through before I do, just you'll sit patiently. I'll try to be close. Now, I want to say, first of all, I want to give you our scripture passage today so you can be fine in your place. And that's found in Matthew chapter 16 and Matthew 21. So you can start finding your place. I wanted to say, my daughter Julie is here today. She's home for the weekend, and so along with my wife Dottie, and we're glad to join you in worship today. And I enjoyed the hymns this morning. Those are great. I enjoyed the praise and worship we had last week. But for those who grew up on hymns, it's wonderful to hear them. I also wanted to tell you, we've been praying for my niece who has cancer. We got a call last Friday that my sister called and said, they did an operation and that the biopsy came back and that she was cancer-free. We praise the Lord for that. One of the things this morning I was looking at my prayer list and I highlighted that, answered, and put the date on it, that it was answered. And Larry, thank you for bringing us together and thank you for doing the funeral service yesterday to help that family through some difficult times in their life. Appreciate your ministry. I'd like to lead us in the Lord's Prayer this morning. Would you pray with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We don't do that always in Baptist churches, but I enjoy that it's part of my ritual when I pray is to repeat the Lord's Prayer every day. In the Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, I'm going to read two passages to you this morning. 16, verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But you," he asked them, "who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Peter responded, "Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church." I will build my church. That is a key phrase. And then turn over to Matthew 21, verse 12. Matthew 21, 12. Jesus went into the temple complex and he drove out all those buying and selling in the temple. He overturned the money changers' tables and the chairs of those selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer." Now, first of all, I want us to notice that Jesus builds his church. We have numerous churches around us. They have different names. I think there's like five churches in North Carolina that are named Herman Baptist or Mount Herman. Well, this church does not belong to you. This church belongs to the Lord. Sometimes we call it my church. I know what we're saying. This is where I go. But for some people, that is really what they really mean. This is my church. And I tell people, this is not our church. This is the Lord's church. I did not die for anyone. And you did not die for anyone. Now, every church is known by something. There is something that drives every church. Every church has its own personality. And I've been going to a lot of different churches. And it is very interesting. Some of you who visit other churches, you know what I'm talking about, because every church has its own personality. Every church is driven by something. Something drives this church. Some churches are driven by tradition. And those famous words, we've always done it that way before. I call it the phrase that stays. Some churches are driven by personalities. Not so much Southern Baptist churches, but some churches. And I can think of a church. A church comes to my mind that the pastor's been there in the entire since the church was birthed. And so the question becomes, what does a leader want? Some churches are driven by finances. The immediate question that comes to mind when you talk about doing something is, how much will this cost? Some churches are driven by buildings. Their goal is to have beautiful buildings. And sometimes they spend more than they can afford. Now here we go, Southern Baptist. Some churches are driven by events. Attendance becomes the main thing for every event. It's how many people we can get to that event. Just like we've been talking about the Josh Hunt Conference. And I hope you would join me in praying for this, because Josh is just a man. And we're praying that God will use him. And if God doesn't show up on Tuesday evening, we'll just have a nice conference. But we're hoping that God will show up and do something in our churches, especially in our small groups. Some years ago, there was a survey done by 1,000 churches, and the question was, what is the purpose of the church? 89% of the church members said, the church's purpose is to take care of my family and my needs. The same survey was done to the pastors of those churches, and the pastor's answer to that question, what is the purpose of the church? The pastor said, the purpose of the church is to win the world. You ever wonder why we have conflict? So when someone mentions a church to you, what comes to mind? What are we known for? Outside the community, when someone says Herman Baptist Church, what comes to their mind about this church? And what comes to your mind when you think about Herman Baptist Church? Now, that passage I read to you in Matthew 21, where Jesus condemned the religion of that day, and the Bible says he overturned the money changers. And I won't go into all why they were there, but I call it was a religious flea market. And he quoted that famous passage that has been on my mind now for weeks that I cannot get off. He says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. And so my question to you is, do you know a church that we would be able to say that That church is known for this, that they are a praying church. Do you know of a church? The first thing that pops into your mind, I know churches that I could say, well now, they're a giving church, and they're a mission church, and they're a singing church. But do you know a church that pops into your mind right now when I say, my house should be called a house of prayer for all people? Do you know anyone that has the characteristic you would say automatically, that is a praying church? The early church was very simple, folks. They had no church buildings. They had no committees. They had no mission boards. They had very little money. They had no files and figures and tell them where they were and where they were going. They had no radio. They had no TV. They didn't have a printing press. They didn't have computers. They didn't have iPhones. They didn't have iPads. And when they reached a difficulty in the life of the church, they didn't call a board meeting. And they didn't say, we need to have a committee meeting. They called a prayer meeting. Acts 2:42 says, they devoted themselves to prayer, and everyone was filled with awe. When they faced persecution, in Acts 4:29, it says they prayed, and the place where they were meeting was shaken. Apostle Peter was put into prison because of his faith. In Acts 12, and verse 5 says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And God did deliver Peter. And he went to John Mark's mother's home, and he said, y'all can quit praying now. God's delivered me. And the early church impacted the world. And one of the factors, they believed that prayer could do anything that God could do. I am convinced that prayer is the key that unlocks God's power. So I'm saying to you at Herman Baptist today, I'm going to ask you some questions. And this is a good time for you to examine this because you're looking for a pastor. And you want to make sure that you know who you are, so when you call a pastor, he will know who you are and know what is the mission of this church. So one of the questions I want to ask you is, who are we? Where are we going? What will we look like if we get there? And how are we doing? How are we doing? Now, I will say to you, and I do, and I hope you know when I say these things, I say them because I care for you and I know you well enough. I think I can talk to you about this. Do you realize that 80% of SBC churches are either plateaued or declining? Did you know that? I know some of the leaders know that. Now, the good news is, I want to hasten to say this, the good news is that for many years we were closing a lot of churches, sometimes up to 1,000 a year. We have reversed that trend by starting and planting more churches, so now we're pretty stable. And of course, we've seen churches here in our own association close. But because of the efforts of our convention, emphasis of our state, we're starting more churches, and that's good. So we have kept that from going backwards now. Of course, we got about 15.7 million Southern Baptists. Of course, it's hard to find them on Sunday morning. We can find about half of them, you know. You look at your roll and about how many come, you're probably like most other churches, it's hard to find half of them. I don't know where they went. But you're in that place where you are plateaued or declining. Actually, I pulled a report on you that goes back for 6 years, and there's three things that you have moved forward on. One is WMU. You have more people involved in WMU than you did previously. Another place where you have grown has been giving in state missions. And another place where you have excelled was giving to Lottie Moon. You blew the top out of Lottie Moon in 16. So when I say this to you, I'm complimenting you, but also letting you know in some areas you are either plateaued or you are declining. So what I want to do today is try to get you to think about how can we overcome that. So the question is, how are we doing? And for most Southern Baptist churches is, we're not really doing that well. We still have our meetings. Most giving is pretty close. But we're not doing that well. We're not doing like we did in the 50s and the 60s when Southern Baptist was surging ahead and baptizing people and bringing them into the church. I think the reason why we're not doing as well because we have forgotten what business we're in. Sometimes churches think that they're a warehouse instead of a factory. I want to talk to you about vision. I want to talk to you about vision. I want to talk to you about mission. And people sometimes say, well, what is vision? What is vision? I'm going to give you a definition. Vision is a clear mental picture of a preferred future. Vision is a clear mental picture of a preferred future given by God based upon the understanding of God. That's what vision is. And the source of congregational vision must come from God. We can't just sit down and think, okay, I'm going to write a vision. God has to give you that vision. I will tell you, the vision of Herman Baptist Church will be similar but different from other churches because God has an individual vision from each church. And the vision must reflect the culture of your community. I can tell you, I know what your vision is, by the way. I know exactly what your vision is. Now, today's a little unusual day because we got the snow and we got some people that, didn't make it out today. But normally we have quite a few more. You agree to that? But I know what your vision is. Your vision is today, you have fulfilled the vision today of the vision that you had 5 years ago. We are fulfilling the vision of where we were 5 years ago. You say, well, I didn't have a vision 5 years ago. That's where you are. Why does this church exist? I read you those stats early on. So let's say for a moment that you could only do one thing at Herman. In other words, as far as ministry, you could only do one thing. If you had to boil it down and say, there's only one thing you do, what would it be? And if you left today or tomorrow, what would you hope that would continue at Herman Baptist Church? Is there anything that wakes you up in the middle of the night about this church? Dr. Sam Chan says that an effective vision will always be memorable. You need to write this down. An effective vision must be memorable, portable, and motivational. Memorable, portable, and motivational. What does that mean? A vision must be something that is memorable. In other words, you can memorize it. I see churches that have mission statements and vision statements that are so long, there's no way you can memorize it. So you must be able to memorize it. It must be portable, something you can take with you. It's something that you can put on a sign. It's something that one person said you could put on a T-shirt. It's something that you can put on your bulletin every Sunday. It is something that you can put in your newsletter. It must be portable, and it must be motivational. That vision must be something that encourages you to do what it says. Now, are you confused yet? Okay, it's fine. I'm going to try to make it very simple for you. Some people say, what is the difference between a mission statement and a vision statement? A mission statement is what we're doing right now. That is a mission statement. It is the purpose of the church right now. A vision statement is something out into the future, at least 5 years out into the future, of where you want to be, okay? I'm going to give you an example of that. Some of you had a vision of this building. Do you remember how long ago was that? I don't know when this building was built. What time? 03 or 04? Okay. So the vision was actually before then, and then you built it. And it's a very nice building, by the way. And then you had a vision of getting the building paid for. Now, I very seldom do this, but I kept the bulletin. I don't know why I kept it, because I usually throw them away. I kept this bulletin January the 3rd, 2016. Do you know what happened January the 3rd, 2016? Do you know? What happened? No. January the 3rd, 2016. Does anybody remember what happened on January? I did. I preached here at Herman Baptist Church. I said, let's pay the debt before you get a pastor, right? I challenge the church. Let's do it. I presented a vision for you. And the church said, we can do that vision. It was out in the future. You didn't have it done yet, but it was something that you wanted to attain. That is a vision. And I forget the date, but when we retired the debt, but this past fall, and you paid it off. Isn't that great? Didn't that give you a great feeling? And you'll be able to tell the pastor when God brings him to you, you'll say, Pastor, we want you to know that Herman Baptist Church is debt-free. And we paid it off while we didn't have a pastor. And he will say, wow. Now that's vision. It's something out into the future that God puts in your mind for you to do. Now vision could be something like to reach our community. To reach our community within a 5 mile radius. God will have to give that to you. What is your vision? But a mission statement says, this is what we're about. Now, I went on the internet and I printed off some mission statements. That thing moves awful fast. You know that. And these are from various churches of different denominations, and I'm going to hit a few Southern Baptist churches. One says, loving people to life. One says, to show you who Jesus is. Can you memorize that? Is that memorable, portable, and motivational? Yes. Biltmore Baptist here in Arden, North Carolina, making disciples of Christ. I can remember that. One says to plant churches and make disciples. Leapheart, one of our biggest, one of our bigger churches, their mission statement, they do it every Sunday. The pastor does it. I heard him when he was at the small church, and it's the same today. Anybody know what it is? Love people and preach the word. I memorized it. So I could go on and on. Love God, love people, and make disciples. I wrote this down when you were showing the video a while ago. The pastor said the mission statement. Did you catch it? Love Jesus, love others, help others to love Jesus. I thought, that's good. Is that memorable? Is that portable? Is that motivational? You say, I'm not sure about all this. Is that really biblical, what you're talking about? Did Jesus have a mission statement? I believe he did. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his mission statement. And that was the purpose of all of his life, is to come and to seek. And today we're beneficiaries of his mission statement here in this world to reach us. And praise God he did. Here's what will happen when you have vision. Is people will give their time and money. People will tolerate inconvenience for the greater good. They will talk about it in a positive manner. You know what? If you know about people, if they ain't got something positive to talk about, you know what will happen? They'll find something negative to talk about. Opportunities for distractions will decrease. Proverbs 28:18, you know this verse well, where it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. We have to have vision. We have to have hope. And I'm going to say a few things now. And this may not be real popular. I'm going to go ahead and prep you for this. This may not be real popular, but it is what I believe. I believe that I believe that many of mission statements are blurred by too many ministries and activities. Busyness blurs vision. Busyness blurs vision. Now, Dottie and I have our own business. We've been in business 20 years. I am not dependent upon churches for my living. We have a business that supports us. Some of you know that, some of you may not, but everybody knows it now. And I developed a mission statement for my business. And the mission statement is like this: to develop a high trust relationship with customers, providing niche products at great prices on time. That's my mission statement. I'm going to read it to you again. To develop a high trust relationship with customers, providing niche products at great prices on time. And that mission statement has served me well. And sometimes when I get a little blurred about what I'm doing, I come back. This is what my mission statement is. This is what I'm supposed to do. Now, I've been off course a few times and tried to do some other things. And every time I get there, I said, you need to get back to what your mission statement's about. Because it has served me well, and God's been very good to me through that. I believe that some churches are so busy they cannot carry out the mission of the church. Newsflash, people only have so much time to give to church. They got families. They got activities at school. My kids are grown. Grandchildren have activities at school. So you want to make the time that you have to use it the best possible way to the most advantage of the kingdom of God. You remember Nehemiah when he was in Nehemiah chapter 6 and he was building the wall? That was a mission that God gave him. Nehemiah, build the wall. Nothing would take Nehemiah away from building the wall. And Sanballat and Tobiah came and said, Nehemiah, we need to have a committee meeting. We know you're doing a great work, but we need to have a committee meeting with you, a conference. Nehemiah said, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. And they tried it multiple times. Nehemiah, we need to have a talk with you. We need to have a conference with you. And every time he remembered his mission from God, build the wall. And every time he said, I cannot come down. I'm doing a great work. Too many activities will dilute the energy of working members. And folks, I will tell you, as a Christian, it's hard to say no. But you need to learn to say no. You cannot do everything. So you need to do, if we cannot do everything, we need to do the best instead of the good. How many of you know that if you chase two rabbits, both will escape? You can only chase one rabbit at a time. As your focus increases, any of you live when they had horses and buggies and mules and plows? Any of you remember that? Do you know what they put on the side of those mules and horses? What? Why? They could look straight ahead. They would not get distracted by things on the side. And I'm telling you, as Southern Baptists and as Herman Baptist members, we need blinders on. This is a mission before us. We need to go forward with this and not be distracted by all these things. Now, I'm saying to you, all these things on the sidelines may be wonderful things. They may be good things, but they may not be the mission of the church. Are you with me? As focus increases, options decrease. As focus increases, options decrease. Henry Ford said, coming together is the beginning, keeping it is progress, working together is success. And if you want the church to increase in this teamwork, working together, they have to see the mission clearly. And everyone needs to be coming aboard. This is the mission of the church. This is the mission of the church. Yes, there's a lot of other things we can do. But we can't do everything. And we must do the most important. And working together as a church is a fuel that will help common people to attain uncommon results. Now, there's a lot of other things, folks, that we can do. Now, several years ago, I read a book by Gene Mims. I think he was president of Southern Baptist. He was president of the Sunday School Board at one time. And I read a book about the kingdom of God. And he presented five healthy characteristics of the church. Some of you have heard this. I'm sure Donnie talked about it in days gone by. But I want to present it to you again. He said there's five foundations of the church. Five purposes what the church sits upon. One is worship. And you have good worship here. I enjoy worshiping with you. I feel like I am worshiping God. Whether we sing praise hymns or whether we sing hymns, I enjoy that. I think that the people who are up here leading you are very sincere and they have a heart to bring you God's message in song. The other is evangelism. Now, if you want a biblical mandate for these things, they're found in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. through 47. They're all right there about the early church, what they did. They had worship. They had evangelism, reaching people. Folks, we need to remember the mission of our Savior was to seek and to save that which is lost. We need that mission also. Too many of our churches, you know, 25% of all the Southern Baptist churches, approximately 50,000 Southern Baptist churches scattered across the United States, 50,000, do you know approximately 25% have no baptisms whatsoever? In a year's time, they'd baptize no one. We need evangelism. We need to reach those people who do not know Christ. Another aspect is fellowship. Now, there's a misnomer in our churches that we call that. In a lot of churches I go, they'll stand up and say, okay, now, you know, fellowship with your neighbor. That's not really fellowship, folks. You know what that's called? Greeting. Those of you who've been to my class, you know about how that goes too. We're just greeting people. We don't know anything about them. Fellowship is when you know about someone. And by the way, you cannot fellowship with every person in this church. You can have a fellowship with a small number. You cannot fellowship with everyone. And here's why. If you're going to fellowship with someone, here's what you need to know, some things about them. You need to know about them. Where do they work? Are they a stay-at-home mom? How many children do they have? What's the name of their children? Do they have grandchildren? What's the name of their grandchildren? What is their hobbies in life? What is their goals in life? What is their struggles in life? That is when you have fellowship. The Bible says the early disciples had all things common because they helped took care of each other. That's real fellowship. So there's worship, evangelism, fellowship, discipleship. Discipleship is whether we're learning what this book says and we're learning how to put it into practice. And that happens in small groups. Was Jesus a fan of small groups? He was. You know what the perfect number for a small group is? What? 12, exactly. 12 is the ideal number for a small group. Everybody can get involved. And then there's ministry. That's where we're actually carrying out the mission of the church in ministry. Well, it may be a ministry, you may be on a mission trip, but you're actually carrying out some of the other aspects. You may be carrying out evangelism. You may be carrying out discipleship. You may be carrying out worship. And Herman is very good at ministry, by the way. You're very good at it. What am I saying to you this morning? That you need to examine yourselves and ask a few questions. Who are we? Where are we going? If we happen to get there, what will we look like when we get there? How are we doing as a church? What is our business? How's business? What is the real mission of Herman Baptist Church? What is our vision? We've completed one vision, haven't we? What's the next vision God has for Herman Baptist? Now, folks, these are not easy questions and they're not easy answers. Sometimes we need to ask these questions individually. But I'm asking you as a church, when you get a pastor, will you be able to say to him, Pastor, this is the mission of Herman Baptist Church. This is what we're about. We want you to know that so that if you accept this call, you will be in alignment with where the people of God feel the purpose of God is for this church. This is the vision that God has given us. And then you may have to ask yourself, what do we need to quit? You know the old statement of that 20% of the people do about 80% of the work? You familiar with that statement? It's true, isn't it? I look at sometimes on these things I print about churches and who's in office, and I'll see sometimes one name, and I'll see it again and again and again. I'm like, whoo, that person's overworked. We used to have a rule when I pastored, you can only have two jobs in the church. That's it. No more than two. Why? If you wear people out, if you burn them out, first of all, they're not going to be excited about what they're doing. And I found a lot of people outside of the church that just were so busy in the church, they didn't know how to say no. And they finally said, well, I'll just quit. I found a lot of people on the outside of the church. And they said, I used to be the Sunday school director, and I used to be a deacon, and I used to be a music director. And I said, what happened? They said, I got so overloaded, I didn't know what to do. I just quit. We don't want anybody to quit. You've only got so much time and so much energy. And here's something, folks. Most of the membership is older, right? Most of it. You know what happens when you get older? You don't have as much energy, do you? You just don't. It's just the reality is. So you have to focus on what is most important. And I'm saying that to you today because I really care for this church. And I want you to do deep thought upon what I'm telling you today. Jesus said, I will build my church. And everything that we do is undergirded by this one facet. You know what it is? My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the people. Would you stand with me? Now, I've challenged you today, and I realize invitations like this are very difficult to respond to. I'm not looking for an outward show. If you want to come to this altar and pray, if you want to come talk to Pastor Larry, Larry's going to be down here at the front. But I'm challenging you as a church because I know what this church can do. And I want to make sure that you're focused into what God is calling this church to do. Of course, the invitation is always open. I may be someone here today on a snowy day that has never known the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that invitation is open. And we invite you with all of our heart to come to know Him. He loves you, and He will give you a new life, and He will give you a sense of purpose in your life and save you for all eternity. You may be here today and not a member of this church. And you say, I believe in Herman Baptist Church. I believe this is where God wants me to serve. Those doors are open to you today. And I'm going to pray for you right before we sing. What song are we singing today? That will be wonderful. She's just going to play, and after our prayer, and you just let the Lord speak to you. If He's got something to say, He will say to your heart, and you do whatever He says, will you? Now, Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for the challenge that I believe that, God, You gave me to share with these people. And, Father, we know that You love these people. They're a wonderful church, and they love You, and they want to serve You. They have a heart for missions. And I pray, Father, that You will guide them as a church. Help them to see their real vision, their real mission, and give them a new vision for the future. Father, You've done great things to this church. And I see in their future an even brighter and a greater Herman Baptist Church. Father, this is Your church. You died for this church. Father, we tell You up front, we do not know the answers, but we know You know these answers, and we believe that You give these answers because these people are called to be a house of prayer people. And I pray you'll minister to them today. And we pray this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.